clip on anywhere here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Closer?
Farther.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts, and that you quiet our minds, open our hearts to your word. Lord, let your truth be spoken clearly and received with humility. Guide the message today so that it honors you and strengthens our faith. Shape our hearts, Lord, to live what we hear, not just today, but in the days ahead. May your Spirit lead us, teach us, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I do apologize in advance. My sermon may end up on the shorter side. But the shortest verse, the deepest truth. In my opinion, I believe John chapter 11:35 holds one of the deepest truths. John 11:35 simply says, Jesus wept. Two words, no sermon illustration seems necessary, no explanation appears required. Now John, the gospel writer who leaned on Jesus' chest, pauses this resurrection story to tell us something that almost feels unnecessary. Would we even notice if it wasn't there? But verse 35 is not unnecessary, it is essential. Jesus wept. I believe this was included because these two words contain a depth of theology, a tenderness of love, and a revelation of God that many longer passages never reach. Now, the book of John was the first book I read in its entirety, and I'd have to say it's my favorite for the simple fact that John's gospel is unique to the other three because it doesn't just say what Jesus did, it says who he was. Emphasizing on Jesus as the eternal Son of God. It has been referred to as the gospel of belief. Having the word belief or a variance listed 98 to 100 times. I counted Thursday night, I got 99. I counted Friday, I got 100. I counted Saturday, I got 98 again. If you're curious, go through and count yourself. But it's in there quite a few times. But John gives us the gospel in just two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept incarnation, when God became man. This works for other parts of the gospel as well. Jesus died, atonement. Jesus rose, victory. Jesus reigns, hope. Confident expectation of life, even though we die. The gospel of John is shallow enough for a child to wade in, but it is also deep enough to drown an elephant. John teaches that Jesus is fully God and fully human, and that eternal life is found only through him. We know that most popularly through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to know what God is like when death enters a home, excuse me, is there a way I can adjust this?
If you're really, really strong, yes. Oh, you mean,
hold it back up. I just keep pressing papers. Sorry. Anyways. Where was I? Right. If you want to know what God is like when death enters a home, if you want to know how God responds to grief, suffering, and loss, or if you've ever wondered if God is distant or near when your heart is breaking, then John chapter 11 is a great chapter for you. And the answer is, Jesus wept. Now, why is Jesus weeping? To understand the power of this verse, we must understand its setting. In John chapter 11, we are taken to the tomb of Lazarus with Mary and Martha of Bethany. Grief hangs heavy in the air. If you could see grief, you could cut out a knife. The sisters send for Jesus, confident that if he had been there, their brother would not have died. Jesus could have healed Lazarus. He could have ran to his bedside, healed him, and Lazarus would have been fine. Yet, Jesus delays. And in that delay, we learn one of the hardest lessons of faith. God's timing is not our timing. But his purposes are always greater than we can see. When Jesus arrives, Martha meets him with a mixture of faith and sorrow. In verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here. How often have we prayed that same complaint? Lord, if you had been here, I wouldn't have gotten sick. They wouldn't have died. I wouldn't have lost my job. But Jesus gently lifts Martha's eyes from what might have been to who he is. And in verse 25 and 26, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He does not merely promise resurrection. He declares he is the resurrection and the life. So we go from Martha saying, Lord, if you'd have been here, to Mary saying, Lord, if you'd have been here. That's in verse 32. Mary fell at the Lord's feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 33 and 34, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Then comes the shortest verse in Scripture. 35, Jesus wept. The Son of God stands before a tomb he is about to empty. And still, he weeps. Why? Because death is an enemy. Because grief is real. Because our Savior is not distant from our sorrow. He is both sovereign and compassionate, fully powerful, fully present. Now the procession moves. Jesus is standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, his dear friend. Martha and Mary are grieving. The community is mourning. Death has done what it always does. It has taken what it had no right to take. Here is what I find shocking. Jesus knows Lazarus will rise in minutes. Back in verse 4, Jesus says, sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And also in verse 15, he says, I'm glad for your sake I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Jesus knows this funeral will turn into a celebration. Jesus knows death is about to lose, and still he weeps. This tells us something essential. Jesus does not weep because he lacks power. I believe Jesus weeps because he is full of love. But there are other theories on why he may have wept. He may have wept because death is a result of sin. Looking forward, even though Jesus proves his deity and many believes in him, verse 45, still, many did not. And the plot to kill him would go from a bud to a full flower almost instantly. Could Jesus have been weeping over the hardness of man's heart? Notice when Jesus wept. He did not weep when he heard Lazarus was sick. I'm going to go off a little bit. I've always, and this may just be my sense of humor, but in verses 11 through 14, you see the conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And his disciples, you know, Jesus says, oh, Lazarus sleeps. I don't know if that's the exact way it's said, but the way I picture it in my mind is Jesus says, oh, Lazarus sleeps. And his disciples say, well, that's great. I mean, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. And Jesus is sitting there like, guys, Lazarus is dead. I always found that part slightly humorous. I know it's a very serious chapter, but you have to try and find positive things in everything. Anyways, Jesus did not weep when he heard Lazarus was sick. He did not weep when Lazarus died. He wept when he saw Mary and Martha weeping. This is deeply important. Jesus does not only respond to events, he responds to people. In Romans 12:15, Paul writes, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Jesus doesn't just teach this verse, he lives it. Christianity is not a faith where God says, get over it, be strong, move on. It is a faith where God says, I am here, I see your tears, I share your pain. John 11:35 reminds us of the humanity of Jesus, the God who feels. He is not stoic. He is not emotionally distant. He is not a detached philosopher offering cold comfort. The Son of God felt grief in his heart and had tears in his eyes, much like we do when we experience loss or grief. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It has been said that Christianity is the only worldview where God enters human suffering rather than observing it distantly. Hinduism says, escape suffering. Buddhism says, transcend suffering. Christianity says God steps into our suffering and weeps with us. Jesus wept not as an actor. He wept as a brother. Not as a distant deity, but as a present friend. John 11 also tells us something we often overlook. In verse 33, Jesus says, and in some Bible versions it says groaned, in others it says deeply moved, but the Greek word implies anger, indignation, outrage. Jesus is not only sad at the tomb. He is angry at what death has done to his creation. Now remember, God is eternal. So if you look at a timeline, I'm not saying I could even picture a timeline of God's life, but this story today, John 11, and the fall of man in the garden, to God, I mean, it's no different than where you are now in your memory of walking in the door this morning. Jesus weeps because death was never part of God's original design. Sin has fractured the world. Humanity is enslaved by something it cannot defeat. Every tear Jesus sheds is also a declaration. This is not how it was meant to be. Christian grief is not hopeless grief. It is grief mixed with protest. It is grief mixed with faith. It is grief mixed with expectation. Here is the paradox of John 11:35, the glory of the moment. The one who weeps is also the one who commands the grave. The one whose eyes fill with tears is also the one whose voice empties tombs. Jesus weeps because Jesus does not weep, because he is powerless. He weeps before demonstrating absolute authority. A few verses later, verse 43, he cries out, Lazarus, come forth! And death obeys. It shows us something crucial about God. God's compassion does not weaken his power. He is both powerful and compassionate. What do Jesus' tears mean for our suffering? It means our tears are not a lack of faith. Jesus wept. So tears are not necessarily rebellion. They are not weakness. They are not necessarily unbelief. Some men won't cry because they see it as a weakness. Jesus was the only real man. A man of sorrow acquainted with grief. It's Isaiah 53:3. Sometimes the most faithful thing we can do is weep in the presence of God. Pain is part of the human condition. But take heart, God is near in our pain. When we hurt, God is not saying, figure it out, be strong, get over it. He is saying, I am with you, The cross proves it. The resurrection confirms it. John 11:35 reveals it. Sorrow is real, but it is not final. Jesus wept because he did not leave Lazarus in the tomb. Christian hope is not denial of pain. It is confidence in resurrection. Every tear we shed as believers in Christ is temporary. Revelation 21:4 promises he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Imagine how happy Mary and Martha must have been when they saw Jesus had truly brought their brother Lazarus back from the dead. I think their tears were transformed into joy, shouts of joy. The same Jesus who wept will one day wipe away the tears of all his people forever. And our grief will be transformed into joy. At Lazarus' tomb, Jesus stood between death and life. Soon, he would enter a tomb of his own, dying for us. Soon others would weep for him. And soon he would carry grief not his own. But on the third day, his tears turned to triumph. Some of you are grieving today. Maybe due to sickness, death. Some of you are tired or anxious. Some of you are carrying pain that you never expected to carry. But hear this clearly. The God you serve is not ashamed of tears. He is the God who weeps with us. He is the God who saves us. If Jesus wept, you are allowed to. If Jesus conquered death, you are allowed to hope. So come to him. Bring your grievances. Bring your questions. Bring your broken hearts. Because the tears of God are the proof of the love of God. Jesus wept. And because he did, all who believe in him will live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the simple yet powerful truth that Jesus wept. In those words, we see your compassion, near and full mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you enter into our sorrow and never walk through pain alone. I pray for those, Lord, who are carrying heavy burdens today. Remind them that you see every tear and that you are the resurrection and the life. Strengthen our faith and trust in you, Lord, even if we don't understand your ways. Make us tender-hearted like Christ, ready to love, comfort others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.